I'm flying by the seat of my pants, but I've learned a lot along the way. That's basically what we're trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, we're experts in our own area.
Right. If you have the motivation, you have the wanting to. But I think it also helps. It just gives you, it fuels everything. So it's like, oh, I'm not alone. Entrepreneurship can be lonely when you're going after your goals. Hey everyone, welcome to Brewed Business, where we dive into the wild world of retail and small business.
I'm Ronnie, alongside my amazing co-host Shelby. We're here to keep it real, share our journey, and break down the barriers of imperfection.
We're two business owners flying by the seat of our pants, showing you progress is always more important than perfection.
Whether you're just starting out or looking to take your business to the next level, we've got tips, tricks, and hold my beer moments to get you there.
So grab your favorite brew, sit back, and join us as we navigate the ups and downs of entrepreneurship.
Let's get started. One thing I learned, so I used to work at a hotel and I would have to answer the phones, and we always had this sign over the phone.
Smile.
Yep, because
Yeah.
people can hear if you're smiling or not. Like if you're having a crappy day, people know it.
Know it, yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I will say, so I've worked in retail since I was a little kid. I mean, service industry. My grandparents owned a campground. But then my first job was working, oh, I guess my second job was working in a small pharmacy. And so I was like always in front of the customers. And then I worked in big box retail apparel.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. You just smile.
Customer service
Yep.
first.
You gotta smile.
Yep.
Even if you're having a bad day, you gotta smile.
My first retail job after high school was I was the assistant manager at AC Moore. And the same thing. I had to do all the people's returns, all of this
Oh,
stuff. And the
all
people
the
would
angry
come in
people.
with the craziest things and try to be all upset. And you'd be like, "You're this is over, like Palmer Clay.
Yeah.
Like you're just trying, like no, nothing is a big deal. You're fine."
Yep.
It's one of those things. But yeah, definitely a good experience.
First retail jobs. Yeah. I've worked the holiday season in an outlet mall, and the returns in January and February. I don't know why people get so upset about certain things, but you just kind of have to like go with the flow.
I'm always a firm believer of the 5 by 5 rule, where if five people know of your business or know of something that you do, and then they each tell somebody,
Oh, like telephone.
tell a friend, but people are out talking, networking, or oh, I just stumbled upon. So if you times that by five people tell times five people
You got another
out.
25 out.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's why it goes fast. So word of mouth.
Well, that it goes both ways, good or bad, you know.
Yeah.
You if someone has a bad experience, they're going to tell their friends too. So the best thing you can do is have a positive experience and hope they tell their friends and then they share with their friends and then you've got a whole community behind you supporting you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, word of mouth is like a whole nother avenue other than like social media. So you can get all of your events, all of your things out, but if somebody's like a trusting source, a friend, a family member was like, "Oh, I just found this spot. You're gonna love it. You need to go here now."
Yep.
And
Check
then
out what they've
that's,
got, what they
yeah,
do.
you
That a
know.
lot of people sit in their businesses and stew when they're down instead of going over to their neighbors and being like, "Let's chat about this."
Yeah. Yep.
Like I
And I
feel
think,
so
yeah.
much better having connections with the other downtown businesses to say like, "Oh, today is such a crappy day,"
Yep.
or "What are you seeing over there?" Because if we don't talk, like you're just in it by yourself, and what a scary thought
Right.
that is to sit there and say, "Well, I'm failing and I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel." It's like, no, get out of your own way, and we
Yep.
all are in this together.
Yep.
Like it's unless your neighbor's, I guess, a big box store, but they're not gonna sit there and
Right.
chat with you.
Yeah, right. No, that is
But
true. That is
if you're
true.
in a small downtown area or even like a city, you've got neighbors are going through the same thing. Just chat with each other. And also that way you're not stepping on each other's toes for no reason.
I think also service-based providers too, as us retailers, that even like restaurants, it's nice because you're just constantly networking. So you're meeting new people, you're bringing people into your community. If you have the motivation, you have the wanting to. But I think it also helps. It just gives you, it fuels everything. So it's like, oh, I'm not alone. Entrepreneurship can be lonely when you're going after your goals. And I think that it's nice to know where there's passion in all fronts and how you're not alone and how we're all a little crazy and how we all have to stick together.
We do, though. Like, you don't stick together. You're just sitting in an office by yourself, just hoping it's going to work.
Yeah.
Get burnt out. So my whole thing was, like, even with vintage, it's a process. So it's like, it turns into, it's fun. It's like the hunt and the excitement of finding the item. But then you have to clean the item. You have to inventory the item. You have to list the item. You have to research the item before you list the item. And then you have to ship the item. So it was like all this, the fun, but then it's the process out, the whole process of selling the item outweighs it. So then it's like, okay, where can you have more fun, or where can you put, like, where are the creative juices?
How do you get past, like, the sourcing is the fun part, but you still have to do the hard work?
Yeah. And then to get to people. So then the end goal is to seeing somebody have it in their hand and be super lit up and super excited. But yeah, there's a lot of work in between from A to Z to get to where I want to be.
So it's like important to get all those ducks in a row. And then, like you said, the actual, the location, the facts, the foot traffic, all of the factors.
Like for me, it literally was, I was selling my soaps and candles in a shop downtown right next to where I used to manage. I knew what the downtown was. I'd been a reporter in the town, so I knew what the clientele was going to be and that it fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people go into getting a space and they don't necessarily know the area. They just see an open space and they say, oh, this is where I want to go.
Yeah.
But if you don't know the foot traffic and you don't know the other store owners around to chit chat with them, then you're kind of going in blind, and I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure. And she gave me the heads up she was going to be switching her and transitioning her business to online only, because she was doing much better with her own handmade jewelry than she was everything else. And she gave me a heads up the space was going to open, and I said, well, let me apply. I had a full-time job at that time. My husband had a full-time job. And we basically looked at each other and said, we've got a week to make a decision.
Wow.
And we applied. There was like two other people. One was another furniture store, but there's a furniture store next door. And then another was a person who did vintage clothing. The previous tenant backed us to the landlord. And the landlord said, all right, you guys have it. You have a week. You get the keys. We got it on December 1st. I called in every favor from every friend to paint the inside, put together furniture. We had maybe four tables and three shelves. It was really sad, but it was just, we opened on December 4th because I wasn't going to miss the holiday season. And
yeah, go mode.
Yeah. We just had the ambition to want to do it and make it work. And we started with maybe $2,000 worth of merchandise and hit the ground running.
Yeah, so for me, it was a little bit different. So I was already selling vintage online through Etsy. And that was great because I was a caretaker. So I was trying to have the most flexibility, but also have fun creatively and also make a little extra, kind of like hobby side cash. I wasn't really thinking much of it, just something that I was like having fun doing. And it was kind of like a creative outlet for me. So it all started that way. I started doing pop-ups, antique shows in Northampton, which was like an 8 month out of 12 months. So it was like a monthly pop-up where it was 3 days, Friday through Sunday. So you'd see all kinds of people come in. And then that was where I had like my sparks of joy to see people interacting and just seeing people enjoying the stuff and like the nostalgia of all the items and different things in person. So that's when I was like, oh, I get these great 5-star reviews on Etsy about the item, but I don't see people's reactions and the joy that they get when they see something or they discover it.
Yeah, you can't see them when they open it.
Or they're like, oh, my grandmother had these candlesticks growing up, or like the milk glass planters and just certain little things where I'm like, oh, these are like rooted memories, like real like joy behind all that. So that was kind of when I was like, oh, this is fun. This is something that I can also manage because it's only once a month. And it was like Friday, you know, Friday through Sunday, so it was manageable. And then I was really successful with both of those to the point when I was like, if I can find a retail space small enough to manage, because I knew it was just going to be me. So that was a hard one because it was in the middle of the pandemic and there wasn't a lot. So it was one of those slim pickings. And then I needed something small enough that I can manage. So that was when the Washington Street Mill came in perfectly. It was all meant to be.
Yeah.
The property manager, doing like the rentals for the commercial buildings, mm-hmm. I happened to be really good friends with the owner of the one who I do the pop-up shows with in Northampton.
Oh, their daughter. Serendipitous.
Yeah, super serendipitous. So it was like I got an inside same yep. thing, like, oh, do you know Shelby? And she's like, oh, yeah, anything. Like, yeah. She's good as gold. Like, that's perfect.
Like, that's when you know it's meant to be.
Yeah.
When there's like a connection and the timing's right. Like if you're forcing yourself into it,
yeah,
it maybe wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe in like and all I had, like the positive energy.
I had this weird like inkling. I was like, no, I'm going to do it. I was like so confident and mm-hmm. I didn't even tell my husband until after I lined it up. And I remember one night I was like hey, so the spot in the mill, it's a little over 200 square feet. So this was tiny. But I was like, it's manageable, it's doable. So it was so funny. I'm looking on like Facebook, I'm looking on like the commercial, I'm Googling all of the things. I can't find anything, right? Yeah. So I'm looking in Durham. Portsmouth didn't appeal to me at all
and
was totally out of my beginner stage of like price going range. In by oh, myself. Yeah. So then as funny as it is, I was like, I'm just going to hop on Craigslist.
Really? I have not been on Craigslist in years.
Strangest thing, right?
Years.
Nothing was on there except this Craigslist ad that just happened to say this small little tiny studio space that's retail friendly.
Yep.
And so I was like, what are the chances? So it was yeah. like one of those things. And I just emailed and I lined it all up. The person that I originally emailed didn't happen to be the actual
yeah.
person in charge of doing that. So then it was all great. So it was just a small, small good world. But yeah, that was one of those things where I was like, oh, if you want to find a way, there's always a way too, if you're determined enough. Oh, yeah.
And you hit Dover in a really good time when, because of the pandemic, everyone was very much in the mindset of shop and support local.
Yes.
Yeah. That was one of the things that scared me. I mean, I was, when the pandemic hit, I was 9 months pregnant and the governor put out the announcement, like, you have 24 hours, you're closing your doors. And everybody came out. Everybody came out. And it was so nice to like see people, because we ended up, a couple retailers ended up calling the governor's office and being like, okay, now what are we going to do? We can't just close our doors. Like, we're not ready to ship things. Some people have really large furniture items. It's not going to work. They allowed us to do curbside pickups.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, and then we started doing deliveries. I partnered with a florist downtown and we were like, all right, how can we get things to people's doors? But you picked a really good time when the community was very supportive.
Yeah, it was a great starter space. And then it gave me, I think, the flexibility too, because I was still selling stuff online. I was still able to flow online sales to help cover my rent. So then that was like, okay, I got this. This is like a tangible, not 8 steps ahead, but
yeah.
just 1 step and then just head down and get to work. So then the other thing was I didn't have a storefront or any windows on the main central yeah. anywhere. And I knew that going
yeah, 'cause
you're
inside a mill building.
Yep. So I knew that my job was to just basically get people into the mill. So then it was nice. It was a great networking
mm-hmm.
and just to get to know the community and like be a staple in the building for the different people in the residents moving in, because they were new to the building
yeah.
because it was just redone to house the residents. So I think that helped. And then it was also fun, all of the dogs that were in the building
yeah.
so they all had to go out
yeah,
so one of the things
you.
Yeah they all had to pass me so one of those smart,
and you're right by the elevator
and I love animals anyway but I started getting dog treats
smart.
But it was a good move.
Yeah.
Because then the dogs were like, oh, wait, no, hey,
we gotta stop here.
And then the customer would walk in. And, oh, it smells good in here. Oh, I didn't see that last time or whatever. So, and then it still works. So it's like they don't need to stop in every single day. But when they do, and then they're walking through the shop and they're like, oh, that is new.
It's just like a good way to remind what you have.
My nephew would like that. So it's just a nice, and then community, and then it's just nice.
Yeah.
And then I try to keep things even just for like strollers and dogs, just enough to move around inside.
So that was one of my rules I made. So I had a friend who had twins. And my rule when laying out or moving tables or anything is, can a double stroller fit through?
Mm-hmm.
Because she couldn't go into places because she couldn't fit her stroller in. That's one of the things. And I don't think a lot of people think of, like, if you don't have kids, you're not thinking of that. But those are your customers, too. Like, you gotta adapt to the situation. Yep. And nobody's going to notice that you did it because of that.
Right, And then we've had, actually, a few electric wheelchairs come in. So then that's just to be mindful about them.
Yeah.
Moving, and getting around.
So. And it's hard with the old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, we're lucky our doorway
is just
good enough.
They're not ADA
in.
Compliant, no, because they're old. They're historic.
But we're very lucky we don't have steps. Well, and my staffs, they're all trained to be like, keep an eye, like if somebody's got a wheelchair or if they've got a stroller, to offer to open the door.
To grab the door.
And like that's just nice customer service, because I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a city that is don't have the down home feel.
No.
And you can feel it when you're struggling to get through the door and they completely ignore you.
Yeah, they'll just stare at you and it's like, why? Just walk over and help me out.
It takes 2 seconds and guess what? I'm probably going to buy something.
Right, exactly.
If I feel like somebody doesn't want me there, well, you want to bet I'm going to leave.
Right.
And I'm also a shopper who I don't necessarily want to be smothered, but I do want someone to acknowledge that I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just makes a difference, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it.
Me too.
I don't know how to conclude a podcast.
I don't either.
Uh-huh. It says we're supposed to recap key points, but I forget what I say.
You and me both, Ronnie. We're going to be in for it. We're just going to wiki-wiki, spit it out. We're not really sure what we said. Go back and replay it if you need.
Yeah.
Take all the thought nuggets.
And we'll have breakfast again next week.
Yep.
We'll figure it out.